So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you would be with us. I pray, Father, that you would anoint every word that comes out of my mouth. And as always, I ask that that which is of you would pierce our hearts, and that which is not would fall on the floor before us. And I ask that you help us to put on our Berean hats, to study your scriptures, that we walk forth in your truth. And the church said, amen. Okay, Apostles' Creed. We've been going through it. You know the story. I told God, I laughed when somebody said they were going to teach through it. God said, you're going to, and it took him two times telling me in a dream before I finally did, but I think God's been in it for sure. And we've come to the place where it talks about the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. And as you know, we skipped that part and went through, and there's a reason. I'll get to that reason in a moment, other than I believe the Holy Spirit. But when we talk about this, we use that word Catholic, we're referring to the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church and all that, but for those who are familiar with the Venn diagram, you have all these circles. Remember that from your nightmare days of math? And where they all cross over, that's the true church of the living God. And that'll be in every church. There will be people that really serve the living God. And we also know that the church is us. If you look to the person beside you and say, you're the church. And you're so excited. And you're just so excited when you say that.
You get to be the church.
You get to be the church of Jesus. Well, we are. If you're in Christ, we are the church of Jesus. So the church is us. It's a living, breathing, relational, Holy Spirit-led group of Christians. That's who the true church is, the universal church is. Both these phrases, the Holy Catholic Church and the Communion of Saints, speaks to who we are for those who are in Christ because of what Jesus did. We are the Holy Catholic Church. We are the Communion of Saints. See, he made us the church so that we can flow together in community. One of the great works of Satan in the earth today is how he has divided the church. As I said a few weeks ago, I found out from a Baptist preacher that there's over 200 different Baptist denominations, which is just amazing. I didn't think you'd find that many ways to divide. But there's only one true church, and that's the church of the living God, of Jesus Christ. As I said, I know I saved these two for last, kind of skipped over and went through the rest of the Apostles' Creed, but I think it felt good to me, and I think it felt good to the Holy Spirit, and that I believe that he was leading that, because the truth of the matter is, going back to October, when we started talking about the Beatitudes, and then using the Apostles' Creed as an outline, everything we've been talking about needs to be operating in the church for it to be successful, for it to function properly. Everything within the Beatitudes and everything that the Apostles' Creed addresses really needs to be functioning for the Holy Catholic Church to really be the communion of saints. So let me do a quick review of what that was, and let me just remind you of that. Let me read through the Beatitudes, which is found in Matthew 5, starting in verse 3, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, those who realize that there's sin in their lives. Blessed are those who mourn, the ones that recognize that there's sin in their lives and they begin to feel sad about it. Blessed are the meek. And then they go to the place where they begin to become understand that they can't do it themselves. And then for they shall inherit the earth. And then blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. See, God made it possible by what he did at the cross for us to be the Beatitudes. If we're in Christ, we are the Beatitudes. And now we have the privilege of walking them out day by day and growing in how we walk them out and how we exhibit them in our lives. It's that yet but not yet. We are, but we're still learning how to do it. The sanctification process, as we talk around here. See, we became part of the church when we realized we were poor in spirit, and then we began to mourn. And because we're mourning, then we begin to hunger and thirst after his righteousness. In other words, turning our lives over to Christ. And we became part of the church. And it's the Holy Spirit that helped us to see our poverty. And still, today, to see our sin and our lostness. Now we know, as we've talked about in the past, that we are no longer sinners. Capital S, though we sin, we've been born again. We are called to grow in the faith and to grow in our involvement in the church, the communion of saints, the understanding that our poverty of spirit, the mourning when we sin, and the working on the meekness, and while all the time increasing our thirsting and hungering after more of God. We never want to be going back. Well, we never want to be que sera, sera. What will be, will be. We don't want to be the church in Revelation 3 that's lukewarm. We want to be hot for God. And that continues even today. And it's going back to the fireball. And if you don't remember the fireball, it's that vision I had when we were over in Sedalia with the church leaders from around the state, and that vision of that fireball coming in and dropping in the middle of the church, and it's applicable to the church, universal, the Catholic Church. And I heard the voice say, eat of me, eat of my goodness. And I began to see people stick their hand into the fireball, which was the living God. And when they pulled their hand back out, it wasn't burnt, but within each hand was fire, a smaller fireball. And people began to eat of it. And as they began to eat of it, I saw them begin to change. If we eat of the Lord and his goodness, we can't help but to change. But he wants us to eat of him more and more and more. That's what the Pharisees stumbled when he said to them, to eat of my body and drink of my blood. They didn't understand what he was talking about. Like, did they ever understand what he was talking about? We're to eat of him. And as we eat of his goodness, we're going to grow in his mercy. We're going to grow in the ability to give mercy. We're going to grow in our purity of heart. We're going to become better peacemakers, which we can do because we believe basically the Apostles' Creed. Remember, the Apostles' Creed was put together somewhere around 200 A.D. to outline the basics of Christianity. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffering under Pontius Pilate, just a second, crucified, dead, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you missed any of those, they're online, just as the Beatitudes is. But you look at these and listen to these. Do you see how the Beatitudes and the teachings of the Apostles' Creed flow together? Their significance? Because they both speak to who we really are in Christ. One of the great tragedies that I see in the church today is how little people think of themselves. I am not talking about arrogance or pride. I am talking about recognizing who each one of us is in Christ. We are this amazing, beautiful, powerful, glorious person. Yeah, we still have the flesh. We still sin. We still do stupid things. But that's not how Jesus sees us. That's not how God identifies with us. And that's not how we should identify with ourselves nor with each other. It's not that uncommon during the course of a counseling session or in time of encouraging somebody that I'll tell somebody, go home, look in the mirror, and just say to yourself over and over, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am his favorite. I am loved by the Lord God. I am an amazing person in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am worth a lot because the blood of Jesus was shed for me. Yeah, he let you guys in too. Do you see how much we're worth? But Satan likes to beat us down. That's a little rabbit trail. But they fit together, the Beatitudes and the Creed, because they do speak to who we are. And because of that, when we do walk in who we really are, that enables the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, to flow together and to be what God meant it to be. So we're going to take several weeks to wrestle with these two phrases. I'm warning you. And then after that, we'll get to the necessary parts of a church that demonstrate and encourage the flowing together. See, it's also very important. What do we say? What have we said over and over to the Creed? One of the reasons we're going through this and looking at some of the theology and doctrine behind it is so that we can be a good apologist, so we can defend our faith. If you haven't noticed, we live in a world where that's becoming more and more hostile to Christianity. And sadly, toward religion of all sides, I'm sure you all heard what went on in Christchurch. What you probably didn't hear is all the Christians who were killed in Africa by a bunch of Muslims. 120. Just the other day. It might not fit some people's political profile, I don't know. But we just need to know, to understand these two phrases, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, so we can walk out Christianity, who we are, to the best of our ability. So that we understand our spiritual DNA. When you're born, you receive DNA. It's one of the great arguments that I have received as the vice chair of the Pregnancy Help Center board, that this baby inside of you is just part of the woman's body. That baby has a different DNA. Totally different DNA. It's a different person. And when we were born again, when we became into that relationship with Jesus, we picked up another DNA, our spiritual DNA. That's who we really are. This body we're in is not who we really are. And fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit, who is an excellent teacher, who I believe is going to lead us in the weeks ahead to really help us to mine the gold in these two phrases. Plus, he's here to help each one of us individually put on our Berean hats. You know, those guys in Acts 17 who, when Paul was done preaching, went home and opened their Bibles, or the Pentateuch at the time, to see if what Paul was saying was right. So let's start with the Holy Catholic, the Holy Universal Church, the true church. The word holy, which is what we're going to look at this week. The Greek word that you find over and over in the New Testament for the word holy is hagios. And it's a... I was horrible at English. When I went to college and took that first writing course you take, you know, that really simple one that you're supposed to be able to do after kindergarten, I did 13 essays. I flunked the first 9. 10th one, I got a C. 11th, a B. And 12th and 13th, I got A's. He gave me a B for the class. I went in and asked him if he messed up. He says, I've never seen anybody improve so much as you. I had to give you a B because you did better than an F. So I don't understand it. So, but I like the software I have because I just put my little mouse on the thing and it tells me what it is. Well, this thing is an adjective that modifies and describes the word, this word holy. In this case, the universal church, so that meets us, that meets locally. And the definition for it, listen to this. This is who you are if you're in Christ. Set apart, sanctified, consecrated, saint, pure, clean, pertaining to being holy in the sense of moral qualities and possessing certain essentially divine qualities in contrast with what is human. Holy, pure, divine. Do you know you're called the saint 61 times in the Bible and the ESV? If you're looking at the NKJV, 62 times. That's who you are. That's who we are. And we need to learn to walk in that. Understand that we are holy. And it happened at the cross. We, the true, where the true church was made holy, which has always been God's goal, was to have a people that were holy. I mean, you go back to the Old Testament, to the law, Leviticus 11:44, reading out of ESV, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 27 in the ESV. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. We were told all the way back then, the Israelites, that we were to be holy. Which, as we know, the Israelites never accomplished. They never were able to make themselves holy, holy. See, here's a sad truth. And it's become crystal clear over the years. Women and men, though encouraged by God himself, could not make ourselves holy. Couldn't do it. We just couldn't do it. And not to get too negative, but because of our inherent evilness, as Isaiah puts it, our righteousness was filthy rags. Holiness was beyond our grasp. But at the same time, from the very beginning, we were called to be a people that shine forth the holiness of God, to shine forth the glory of God. That was our call. That's a major reason we were created. Major reason we exist today. To reflect God's holiness. To be that people set apart for the glory of God. But we needed help. That's really what conversion is all about, is us saying, I can't do it, I need help. Having poverty of spirit and mourning, humbling ourselves and seeking God, his righteousness. But unfortunately, God rolled up his sleeves and went to work. And he addressed the whole topic of human holiness. The cross. The cross. Jesus did it. He made us his holy Catholic Church, his universal church, the true holy church, holy. He did it. Let me ask you a question. You always feel like you're holy? I mean, be honest. Who here feels like they are holy 100% of their time? Well, my response to that is, I didn't raise my hand either. My response to this, you are. I am. We are. Can you see if we understand that, how different we will walk? We made it. We're in. As R.C. Sproul puts it about holiness, first we are holy because we have been consecrated to God. He set us apart. We have been called to a life that is different. The Christian life is a life of nonconformity. It does not conform to this world. And it really ticks people off. We were made holy by the final blood sacrifice of Jesus. He did it. He took care of business. He did it for us. He did what no human could do, even though 53% of evangelicals today believe that we are inherently good, which violates Scripture. The second part of the equation, the first part is what he did. Second part of the equation is we are to present ourselves to God. Romans 12:1-2, famous verse. Most people know it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? The positive way we do it is present your bodies, as it says, as a living sacrifice, only acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. The negative is, do not be conformed to this world. I used to watch the news a lot, and I'd get real concerned and worried about the stuff I was hearing. And then one day, and I would spiral down. And one day God said to me very clearly, you're conforming yourself to this world. Stop it. See, what's going on in the world, the church is called not to submit to. The church is called to stand up, to go out and change it. Like things that these guys do through CRY. And with our help, by praying, by inviting your neighbor over, I would say a steak, but I can't cook steaks to where they eat and taste well, but a pork steak, I do a bang up job. Hot dogs, I do really good. I love hot dogs. Do you realize that the last hot dog eating contest, that some guy ate 70-something of them with buns in 10 minutes? I don't know where that came from, but I just remember reading that, being confounded. But we're not to conform ourselves to this world. To do so is not holy. We, the church, are to give ourselves totally to God, walking in the fact that we have been set apart. Now, I'm not saying that you remove yourself from the world. We need to be light. When I was in Colombia a number of years ago, when my body worked better, we put together this softball team. Okay? And we played 80 to 90 games a year, a summer, for about 3 years. But we would never miss church. But we would play all these things. And people loved to get us, because we were usually in the winner's bracket. We had people like Gator. That was one of the guys. And another guy we called Gorilla. So these guys weren't little wimps. These guys, one-handed, just kind of popped the ball over the fence. Okay, we just had some big guys. Okay? My job was just to get on base before them so they would hit over the fence so we both score. But we were known as the God Squad. And we were written up in the papers. that we honored God more than we did the softball games on Sunday mornings. And people came to know the Lord. So I'm not saying get out of the world. I'm saying get in the world, be part of whatever, but hold up Christ higher than that. See, holiness is always God's way, conforming to his way, not the ways of the world. It's never, ever the way of the world. Conformity to what is not of God. Because we're citizens of the kingdom of God. That's who we're citizens of. Now, I'll warn you, if you do that and you let your light shine, you're going to be an offense. It's just going to be an offense. That's the reviling and persecuting part of the Beatitudes. But I don't think you'll ever suffer what Jesus did for you, for me. But we're to do that as spiritual worship, which is praise and worship and getting into the Word and prayer and fasting and relationship and gathering together as the Bible commands. We are so blessed because there's so much on the internet today that you can use tools. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to get all these amazing books to study. Now, you got to be careful. Some of them out there are... The blessing of the internet is there's a lot of good stuff out there. The curse of the internet is there's a lot of bad stuff out there. So, if you're not sure, look it up. Ask some people. But we are to stick our hands into that ball of fire. We're to eat of that goodness. It's back to the yet, but not yet. We are holy. Yes, we are because of what Jesus did. Yet we must endeavor to live a life that centers on the triune God by presenting our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. So that we learn more and more to walk out who we are. Remember how we define sanctification? And it's going back to the word holy, we're sanctified. It's learning who to walk out who we really are. All those things I said earlier about who we are. I'm not talking about, well, we're not talking about doing things or not doing things. I'm not talking about legalism here. I'm not talking about don't do this or don't do that or you must do this or you must do that. We had a great conversation on that yesterday at the men's breakfast. I thought it was a very good conversation. Where we talked about doing things because it comes from that new heart. See, it's about flowing with the Holy Spirit out of that heart that has been changed. Ezekiel 36, 26, I think. And it will be changed more and more as we run the race that is set before us. Choosing to be, again, a nonconformist in this world, going back to R.C. Sproul, who's a guy I really like, and he's dancing on the streets of gold now because he passed away, I think, about 9 months ago. It's the call of nonconformity is a call to a deeper level of righteousness that goes beyond externals. When piety is defined exclusively in terms of externals, the whole point of the teaching of the apostle has been lost. Somehow we have failed to hear the words of Jesus that it is not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth. We still want to make the kingdom a matter of eating and drinking, of doing, of earning our way. We can't earn our way. Our way has been earned for us. Our job is to accept that. To say, thank you, Lord, for the cross, for covering my sins. I love those words, as you know, it is finished. Every sin, past, present, and future, was covered by his blood. We just need to acknowledge it. In other words, we often want to make ourselves pious by doing rather than being who we are and walking that out. It's the American dream. To be all you can be, to just do it, to go for the gusto. We don't have to. We already did it. We already got the gusto. We're already there. Now we're just called to walk it out. It's not about doing or certain things that doesn't make us pious or holy. And please, I'm not saying just go out and do whatever you want. There's other scriptures that talk about sin. As Martin Luther said, we have accidental sin and purpose sin. We need to do our best not to do the purposeful sin. You're always going to do the accidental sin. just the flesh. So how do we conform to Jesus versus the world? We need to learn to think like Jesus thinks, to do what Jesus is doing. You might ask, how do you do that? Well, what did he say? I do what the Father tells me to do. I say what the Father tells me to say. And the only way I know to understand that is to get into the Word of God. To read it, to read it, to read it. And when you're done reading it, read it and read it and read it and study it. And again, going back to all those amazing tools, there's commentaries out there. There's good commentaries out there. What's the name of that one site that has, Crossways or Cross something or another has a bunch of stuff. And then there's that other one I can't think of right at the moment. But there's good sites out there. And then we put on Berean hats and we get into the Word of God. But we also start forming calluses on our knees from prayer, worship, and praise. And then not only that, we gather together corporately and we go house to house. We were never called to be a 1168 Christian. That's not who we're called to be. Or in our case, a 2168 Christian. You know what I'm talking about. Number of hours in church and after that, forget about it. One of these days, I was watching something the other day and asked it was Family Feud. And the question was, what day of the year is the most popular year that has the most church attendance? Christmas. Everybody knows that. So one of these days, I'm going to do the calculation. If you only go on Christmas Day, what kind of a 1/whatever Christian you are. But, you know, it's about gathering together. It's about going house to house. I encourage people to have me over for chocolate. If you start out with a chocolate tart, then you have a bar of chocolate and then a chocolate pie, that's a great meal. It's got all the basic food groups. I mean, they're all there. Wheat, dairy, it's all there. Or are we going to present ourselves as living sacrifices unto God? Ouch. Too many Christians, and please, this is not a judgmental statement at all, and I don't know that this really applies to anybody here, but if the shoe fits, put it on. But too many Christians try to walk the fence between the world and the kingdom. It doesn't work. Because by the grace of God, we are saved. We are set apart. Yes, we must ask ourselves these questions. Do we sin more so that grace may abound? How? By doing the things of the world instead of conforming to Jesus. Jesus is a lot more radical than I like to think about him at times. But the truth is, I'm a saint. We're saints. We're separated. And we're called to be separated. We're a holy nation, as it talks about in 1 Peter 2:9, New Living Translation. But you are not like that, for you are chosen people. Chosen. You are a royal priest. That's who you are. Oh, well, I just thought Gary was a priest, or Hope and Frank and the people are up front, my wife, are priests. Terry. No, we're all priests. But we're not just priests, we're royal priests. And we're a holy nation. We're God's very own possession. As a result, we can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light, and we're called to walk forth and tell our stories. We all have a story. And my story is no better than your story. And your story is no better than anybody else, because we're all lost, and now we're in Christ. See, and as a holy nation, we're called to be nonconformists to this world. Again, that is not to be equated to withdraw yourself from the world. We are to go to the nations, and there's a nation right out there. We are to run the race that God has set before us. We are to be purified each and every day. We are pure, but we need to repent for when we see sin in our lives. to purify. Remember how I talked about sin? It's not the separation of God if you're in Christ. When you sin, you're not separated from God. But it's like for those of you who raised a child and you go in and you catch them doing something wrong and you say their name, what do? They go, "Yes, Mom, I did it right. I did that." No, they don't. They drop their head. They're ashamed. They're embarrassed. And repentance is nothing more than lifting our head and looking at the face of God and saying, "I did it. I'm sorry." No broken relationship. Just getting rid of the embarrassment, the shame. But we're to be purified each and every day. To forsake the world and follow Christ totally and completely. So that Christ will be lifted up, drawing people to him. And we can't do that if we're just in this building. But we got to take us and our holiness and go out and show our holiness. Because believe it or not, the world is full of people looking for holiness. I see it on Twitter all the time. I got a whole bunch of heathen people that follow me on Twitter as I put out scriptures and I put out thoughts about God that is amazing to me that they do it. And every once in a while, one of these, I'll look at some of the things they say and I won't look at it because of some of the language they use, but then I'll see that they ask for prayer and I'll pray a prayer in response and I get back, "Thank you, Pastor Biker." Because that's who I'm known as out there. "Thank you for praying. I appreciate it." Planting, watering. So that Christ will be lifted up. And I'm praying for these people all the time that then when they see this, that seeds are sowed, that watered, that somebody will come along and that God will do his work as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 3 and bring forth the fruit of God. Yes, is. We've talked about many times, and I love it, and I love it, and I love it. It's a process. God never looked for us to be living a perfect life, sinless life, before we die. Yet we are holy. So let's walk out the process with the Holy Spirit. Let's ask him to be our escort. Let's release him in our life to do what Jesus sent him to do, to lead us in all truth. Which he can do because by the grace of God, of our new heart, and because we are holy. Please just say with me, "I am holy. I am holy." Now say it again with conviction. "I am holy." We are holy if we are in Christ. It's imperative that we understand that.